now that you've explained to me the theme or idea or concept behind the podcast, how do you track down all, I mean, or the majority of these dancers, people in, you know, Dan, Danny's, Danielle's, how do you track them down? Phone book? We don't have phone books anymore.
What I like to do, because, you know, there's all types of current and former athletes named Dan across baseball, football, basketball. Some sports have a deeper reservoir.
Dan lore.
But yeah, Will, I'll just Google Dan and MLB, or I'll get on Baseball Reference, and I've done that. And I've gotten a couple baseball players, but it's kind of tough because they can be hard to find. I do send letters through the mail sometimes, but actually the best guest and the best source of guests has been singer-songwriters, because I'll search Dan and songwriter, and there's quite a few out there, or comedians. I've had a couple comedians on the show.
And they want to promote themselves to an extent, or look at it as an opportunity.
Yeah, so if you find someone who's still indie and they're not a household name, and they've got a good website, like if I find someone that has a website, that's a great sign, because that tells me that they're active. And then I'll look at, like, if they have music out, did they release something in this calendar year? And then I just go for the email, and I'll send an email to explain what the show is and try to keep it like a couple paragraphs. And I didn't know if it would really work, but, you know, not everybody replies, and some people say no, but, you know, enough of them have said, yeah, let's do that. It sounds like fun.
Well, how long, now I guess my next question would be, how long have you been doing it? How many shows do we have in the archive?
So this will be episode number 63. It goes back to August of last year. So like the first episode was kind of middle of August of 23. So at one time it just seemed like I was releasing episode number 8 and number 9. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm up to 10 episodes. And like, it's kind of just, it's happening, and it takes some time. Like to do it right, I had an old microphone. I upgraded that. The recording equipment, once you get the hang of that, that's good. But if you don't want to edit anything, which some people don't, I'll go in, like after we talk today, and I'll clean up some stuff. And I don't have a million subscribers. I want the people who do listen to it, I want it to be an easy listen.
Pleasant experience. Well, it's funny you say that about the editing, because I don't listen to a ton of podcasts. Really, when I'm listening to something, I want to listen to music. Like, I can't really focus as well on a podcast while I'm working like I want to. So really, when I listen to podcasts is on trips or on longer drives and stuff, when I can kind of get in the zone with it. And so I was went down to your neck of the woods. You're in Pensacola, correct? I was in Perdido Key a month or so ago. And my girlfriend's a big podcast listener. And I can't remember the podcast. It was a great podcast. Basically, they were doing I think they do deep dives of albums or something. And it was, but neither here nor there. But basically, she had on as the guest happened to be her producer, editor, whatever, and went into the whole details of editing of podcasts, because otherwise there'd be a lot of talking over one another, probably the ums and the ands. And I never thought about it. I just thought, oh, everyone just interviews perfectly, which now, once it was pointed out, I'm like, oh, that would not be the case. Just the polishing of it all. So yes, I'm sure that does take a significant amount of work. So good for you. Hopefully you don't have to do too much work for me, but I have a feeling I will and pause.
Oh yeah.
You would like, or you may just need to silence me. I'm not sure. Or all the above.
And yet, just do it at will. Speak as you speak. Be as you will, and don't worry about any of that stuff. One thing I learned as this year has gone on, you know, I've got kids and I've got a wife, and I can't just be holed up in my little home studio, as I'll call it, for hours, just chewing away at this thing. I'm needed around the house. So there have been a few weeks that I spent a little bit too much time working on something, or I've had some episodes run 90 minutes, 90 plus minutes, and there was a time I didn't split them into part one and part two. And I'm starting to do that now, because if we talk today for an hour, and you'll be surprised how fast the time just kind of whips by.
Yeah.
Most likely I will put those out as two separate episodes, because Number one, sometimes there's some really good material in the back half, and not every listener is just going to dutifully listen to every last second of every show. There's shows I listen to, and I don't make it all the way to the end.
I will admit, I have a hard time going over, especially particularly for interview or the more interview-based podcasts. If it's over 30 minutes,
yeah,
I have to go back and revisit, or I don't ever go back and revisit. And I don't even think I'm that, I have that hard of, bad of an attention span. It's just a lot to go, and I understand why the bigger podcast hosts do these more hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours, but I'm like, who has the time to sit there for that long? And I know you can go back and revisit, but I kind of want to take it all in at once to an extent, like a show or, like a movie or whatever it may be, have the full experience of that episode. I mean, an episode is meant to be listened to or viewed in a sitting,
right?
In my mind, but maybe the ins and outs of podcasting is not as exciting to everyone. Should we, but also if you break up the episodes, then it gives you more time to find a Dan or a Danielle or a new Dan to continue the real purpose for the podcast and not just dive into someone as boring as an old employee like myself. Actually, I think I'm pretty exciting. I got to be more exciting than Furmeister.
I think you're going to give him a run for his money. Furmeister, Christo, as we affectionately used to call him. He thinks he's pretty hot. And to some degree, he is. But he's not the end-all be-all.
Is he hot?
Is
he hot? Does he think he's hot? I hope he doesn't think he's too hot.
You know how some of those characters and figures and some of those people who once had the belt strapped around their waist for 2 weeks, they still think that they're the world champion. even though that time has passed and that... I'm just kidding. I hope Chris doesn't listen to this because I think the world of Chris and I think the world of you too, Will.
Dan, it made me so happy. Trust me, I don't think I would have agreed, or maybe sometimes... I don't want to say I agree to something and then don't follow through, or I try to do better about that now. But there was no question when you came through, and it was almost meant to be because I don't check Messenger and that stuff very often. And I just happened to, have it open, or it happened to be I was at work and I just saw the notice go up.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? I got to do this. Mainly just so we could reconnect. I mean, Dan, we have not talked since probably you – I mean, maybe we talked a handful of times or saw each other a little bit after you left the news, but I mean, for all intents and purposes, we have not seen each other or spoken. And I mean, when did you leave the news? Like 2008 or something? What would have been?
Yeah, September around this time, actually.
It would have been good to get away from football season.
Yeah. All those Saturday nights, all the games you miss. I think it's like really close to on the dot. If today's we're recording on September 27th, I think it could have been the 28th or the 29th of 08. So 16 long years ago.
I mean, and I know that I see this, I can only imagine. I mentioned my girlfriend. I do not have children or anything like that. But I think even without children, just you start getting older and all those cliches become true of just time just flying by. That being said, it's also, and maybe these are the bonds that are formed, but it doesn't seem that long ago that we were, at the news. I mean, it's all the cliches. I could just say it, but it's true. And you realize why they're cliches or why you hear it because, man, time moves. But it doesn't seem like it's been that long. I mean, truly. So we have not seen each other or spoken for all intents and purposes since 2008.
Yeah.
And I can't do the math, but that's a pretty good amount of time, 16 years or so.
And
did I do the math right?
Yeah, 16 years. And again, maybe we saw each other in the Birmingham nightlife maybe once or twice. It really wasn't too many more times there. But like you said, when you picture the newsroom, and we, of course, had the shared desk, I think, when I wasn't there and you were there. because we weren't full time.
Oh yeah, we shared our desk. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean,
there is so much, such a road to take this. If we choose to focus on, and I guess we would more focus on the Birmingham news and all that. I was going to ask you how you did. I'm assuming it was just Chris and Craig that you've spoken to from our news days.
That's right.
I don't know if y'all spent most of the time talking news or if you talked Birmingham nightlife or you talked just other things, but golly, if the news isn't a, I mean, you could go any route with that.
I remember the daytime leaseholder of that desk space was a one Mike Bolton.
Oh my goodness.
Any
and you know
special memories Mike, there.
Dan, did we, and you know, I will admit, and let me say this, it's been a long time, but I wasn't as off the rails I'd like to think I wasn't as off the rails at the start of my employment at the news. And I feel like, I mean, I got much more off the rails after basically the crumbling of the Birmingham News as, you know, it had been. And we could spend time getting into the collapse of journalism, the collapse of the print industry, the collapse of newspapers. But basically, my memory may not be as good as it once was. So I can't remember how much we talked about it or how much I got frustrated as time moved on. But yes, old Mike Bolton, the still outdoor writer. I don't think there's any kind of auto. Who knows what he does, but he still writes. They still contract him in some way, since the vast majority of the staff anyway is, I think, some level of, stringers or however you want to. I don't think that terminology is around anymore. Just like sports information directors is not a term anymore.
Oh, SIDs.
LSIDs, which really bothered me when I went after leaving the news. I went and got my master's in sports management from Alabama, but I really did not like, and I worked for UAB for a short period of time, but the sports information director terminology went out of the lexicon, and it just became, I guess, some level of, you know, marketing. I forget what they even say, but there is no SIDs anymore.
No Joey Mullins.
No, Joey Mullins. I actually met Joey. He was a nice guy.
I think he is still out there.
Also, I think he's still out there. I'm not sure. He just recently maybe left Stanford. But what are your memories of Mike in our shared desk? I completely actually forgot about that, Dan. But what, he would leave his probably spittoon? Or am I stereotyping Mike here and assuming that he dipped? But or did he actually leave his, you know, his Dr. Pepper plastic bottle filled with dip, spit, and whatever else? Am I making that up?
I would not. I wouldn't put that past the realm of possibility. I remember that there weren't too many times that Mike and I crossed paths, because remember, we didn't have to be there exactly at 5:30. Maybe some people did. I just kind of rolled on in. I knew what I had in front of me, and I knew when our meeting was going to be. But yeah, I'd run by the Arby's or run by somewhere and go ahead and get dinner locked down. Sometimes we would get there first and then immediately leave again to go like get food, which I'm curious as to why I did that or any of us did that. But we were allowed. We were given a lot of latitude.
We were giving a lot of, now in retrospect, and that's why I kind of referenced me being a little bit off the rails. Now, I think we did a great job, and, you know, I don't know if it's how the case is now, but also, as you hear more lore, or maybe you were part of other newsrooms, or you talk to people from other newsrooms, I mean, it's kind of par for the course to an extent, but we were given a lot of leeway, but we got the job done.
I think
that's
why. And,
you know, in other jobs, I mean, you still see it. If you get the job done, that's all that matters.
When you have to deliver on a hard deadline every single night, and it's got to be accurate, and it's got to be on time, and you got a group of guys like us who prove themselves capable on a very regular basis, you don't wonder when they're going to get there, because you know they're going to be there.
There was no reason to question us. I mean, I will say some that came after us that were in similar roles as, you know, you moved on after Craig moved on, after Chris moved on, and I was still there. Not everyone could be relied upon as much as we were. Not that I fully blame them, considering our pay scale. But, you know, you sometimes that's, you know, you get paid a little less to have an exciting, fun job, which that was. And I didn't mean to interrupt, but let me say this real fast, Dan, is that I'll just put this out there. And I don't know if it was youth. Some of it probably had something to do with youth. But I still talk about this with Kent Casey, with John Reimer. Those were great times. It was a great team. Obviously, you've already spoken with Craig and Chris, so I'll throw them in there. And we can maybe talk about some other characters if we want. But not only was it great times, I think we put out a great product, but nothing will ever, for me, compare to that job. And those will be, I mean, I can say it now. And I've been basically searching for that. And I got real lost after 2012 and things when you know, they laid off so much of the staff and went to 3 days a week and all that stuff. But let me say this. For a long time, I've just been searching to find that feeling again. And I had to come to grips and come to terms with, I'm not going to find that feeling again. And maybe some of that's youth. Maybe some of it was that it really was just a fun, exciting, cool job to have. But I have come to grips with it. And, you know, it's okay. I find, you know, I find happiness in other things. With my current work, I focus on some of the positives. Now, those positives may be a little bit better pay scale and like insurance, but it matters. But I just had to finally realize that, and even if I had stayed in journalism or stayed in sports, which I tried to stay in sports, it didn't capture that feeling for me. And that wasn't, I realized that, yes, some level of it was sports, but it was really the sports desk and the people I was working with and a level of what the newspaper business was at that time, even though a lot of those old timers would try to say you was already falling apart at that time, which maybe it was, but not to me. And I still think the integrity and the ethos of the newspaper industry and the standard was still there. And so I realized when I tried to work for universities or work for other sports related groups, entities, industries, it didn't capture that for me. And I mean, I spent money to go back and get a master's in sports management because a lot of people suggested it and thought, well, Will, you're so great in sports. Why don't you keep doing it? And it's like, it wasn't that. I wanted just the sports desk. And maybe that would have played itself out, you know, even if there was still a sports desk. But there's nothing for people like, why don't you still write? Why don't you still do this, edit? I'm like, there's no – for what I enjoyed and what I did, there's nowhere to do that anymore.
You're right. And
you're seeing it with current sports reporters with, what was it, Adrian Wojnarowski, or how do you pronounce his last name, just getting laid off yesterday. And he essentially said the same. And we've seen it across the board of people being like, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what got me into doing this job. And I know that what we were doing was a little bit different than what, you know, a beat reporter or someone who ascended to essentially the highest echelon of the industry was doing, but there's similar aspects to what he's saying is it's different now.
I just remember.
Sorry, I went on a real ramble, but the news, I mean, I still go on rambles about the newspaper. And some would say it's sad, but I mean, I just, it's something I still care deeply about. And those times I care deeply about, and that's why I was so excited to hear from you, Dan. So I will stop now after all that and let you lead again. This is your show.
Well, Will, you just spoke so poignantly there, and I echo every sentiment. And I always wondered, going back to like 2015 or 2011 or even 8 years ago or 6 years ago, I always just from time to time think about those years, that newsroom, that group of guys. And it wasn't all guys that made it great. Amy's there.
Amy's amazing. And Amy feels the same way. I mean, Amy will still put up, you know, memories, share memories on Facebook or whatever it may be. I run it, you know, I know that, I don't know when the last time Kent talked to Amy, it might've been Charles Hollis's funeral or service. I don't know if you knew that Charles passed away a few years ago. That one got me. It's just so easy for me to like start going off in so many tangents on those times and people and things, but to stay on Amy, I mean, yeah, it wasn't just a male dominated. I mean, in some ways it was, but she hung tough and she made that desk and that group what it was too. and she loved it. And I think she loved, I think she would have rather been with us on that sports desk than anywhere else for that paper.
I think so. It was just wow. We were, you know, they paid us peanuts, like you said, and Eli Gold's got a great book, From Peanuts to the Press Box. But we were willing to do it.
I have not read it, but I need to.
Yeah, great book. Love Eli. But we knew what we signed up for. I think going in,
yeah,
you know, okay, can't get a full-time offer here, whatever. I'll take whatever I can. For me, it just, it dragged 2.5 years is a little while to not get bumped up to 40 hours a week. So, and then, like you said, just the leaves were changing, and it was really sad. I kind of spiraled after that. Not, it wasn't total destruction, but I remember, met a lot of good friends, went back to hospitality for a couple years, and I made some lifelong friends there, but it just did not replace.
Do you mind telling me where you went? Because, and I will tell you, I mean, obviously, I referenced 2012. That's when, I can't remember the exact day. I think it's October 31st, or maybe it was the start of October. I could go back and Google. But basically when they laid off, and yes, buyout, you know, the writing was on the wall essentially from the start of our employment at the News. I mean, it's kind of funny to think about. They build this huge new building, and then, you know, the Great Recession starts or whatever, and it was all just like darkness. Not as much for us per se, because maybe our youth and not knowing what came before, but it was really just, that was the beginning of the end, I think, in a lot of people's mind, to the newspaper and what the Birmingham News had been and was. But I stayed on. I did get a full-time job, still getting paid peanuts, fought for raises, got, surprising enough, did get one at a point in time, but still, I mean, that's like two peanuts or whatever, I don't know, some clever expression to say, but it didn't matter to me. That being said, you saying you spiraled, I mean, I spiraled hardcore, and I mean, I don't know if we want to get into all that, but let's circle back to, I just wanted to put that out there that, I mean, it took me a long time to recover in terms of trying to replace this and just, you know, the sadness of losing it, but also working nights and working that lifestyle enabled a lot of habits that I already had, you know, coming from high school, college, and pretty much jumping right into the newspaper and working nights. It allowed where maybe some of those habits might have been checked by getting a more 9-to-5, 8-to-5, you know, quote unquote, regular job or whatever. And maybe it wouldn't. Maybe those habits wouldn't have been checked. But it allowed me to, basically, it allowed some of those habits to go unchecked, or maybe even amplified some of those habits. And then once I got laid off, even going back, getting my master's and doing great, I was spiraling. Mm-hmm. And my life really, I mean, I'm thankful to actually still be here now and have made some changes. But let's circle back to what you said, Dan. I just had to get that out there, because that's a part of this whole journey for me too, is that it's taken me a long time to reestablish myself and get myself right, whatever that may mean, but to get myself healthy and positive. And I don't know an overarching word to say it, but I certainly spiraled and it got dark.
I really appreciate the courage of you saying that, because, you know, I don't talk a lot about my experiences on this show, or I don't go into a lot of detail about periods of my life. I try to make it about the guest, but you're right about that. I was disappointed. I was the one that turned in my notice to Tom, and I hated to do it, but, you know, I had something happen, and let's see, this was September of 08, in July of 08, I guess I was still celebrating my birthday. I don't know if it was on that day, but, you know, I had that run-in at a bar that was open when all the other bars closed, and a couple of professional baseball players, will put it, showed up to have some drinks as well. And unfortunate incident happened there, which, you know, I was
we don't have to name the baseball players, but can we recall the establishment? Was it Marty's? Was it the Nick? Was it the Quest? Where
this
where
was were actually we?
Or the Upside Down Plaza?
No. This was on the other side of town in Pelham, and I believe it would have been, so you got Pub 261, and then there was a club right there in the same plaza, I think. and it may have been called changed names, crustaceans, something along those lines.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So I'm sorry always... to keep going. I forgot that y'all were out that way a little bit. I was thinking more Birmingham City.
Yeah.
Because talk about something else, which is not normal a lot of places, is the ability for these clubs, and I'm doing clubs in quotation marks, you can't see, but basically places that you can drink 24 hours a day and it never ends. And
yeah.
But continue. I'm sorry. I was going to.
There was a couple of those in Birmingham at the time. And yes. Believe me, I knew where they were and made decisions on whether to go or. Oh, man. It just makes you wonder. When you've been living a pretty clean lifestyle for a while and you just think back, well, like, I guess my body could handle. Let me put it this way. I wasn't just shoveling anything I could think of into my system. I was drinking and having fun and staying out late. But even that, on little sleep and just trying to execute your daily responsibilities and objectives and pursue things that are important to you, all that stuff, I mean, I think it suffered back then. And I can't imagine if I was still just getting loaded all the time as a 40-something.
I don't know how people,
where my ambition would be.
How people do it. When I look around, I try not to. I will just say this, and this is not. I never moralize or try to come at anyone about their habits unless they ask me specifically. But I stopped drinking in. It's been 7 years now, but I had some pretty serious. You could say. I mean, I had. A lot of serious things happen, you know, in terms of, I mean, I shouldn't say I'm not ashamed to admit it, but it's just a reality. You know, I got a DUI at a point in time, you know, things that should have woken me up, plenty of bar altercations, fights, blackouts, which is not, Dan, you know me, I mean, I'm not that type of person,
but
obviously there was a lot of darkness and resentment inside me that the alcohol brought out, particularly after. I mean, a lot of this is post, all of this is actually post the news. I mean, I'm sure I'm still having some, and if Kent was on here, he could probably, or Chris for that matter, could tell of nights that we were out, we were still at the news, but it really got dark post the news. But I then had some health issues that thankfully were enough to maybe push me to fully quit. I was really bitter about it for a while that somehow I have been dealt a raw, like a raw deal, looking around and thinking like, oh, well, all these other people can drink this much, which is not really the case. I mean, yes, when you're around other alcoholics or intense drinkers and users at 3, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, or even, you know, watching the sun come up. Yeah. I'm sure you can point at these people and say they're doing the same things, but normalizing behavior that was not normal. But I'm now thankful for these health conditions. I mean, I'll just say that. I mean, I had some acute pancreatic attacks, which is the most painful thing I've ever gone through. And it actually took me getting two to wake up and finally was able to hang it up. But I'm so thankful and blessed that happened without, you know, basically I am still here. There's no permanent damage that I'm aware of. And, you know, also the main thing is I referenced that DUI. That I never, I mean, yes, hurt myself, but never hurt anyone else. Because unfortunately, you know, there was a lot of blackouts and things. And yes, there was maybe some bar confrontations I had. But a lot of that I look at as, well, it's kind of like the code. Like, you know, they knew what they were getting into too, being drunk at two. You know, there was never, those were mutual altercations that occurred, for lack of a better word, where I don't feel as bad about those type things. I mean, there are things that I regret, but I think made my apologies and spoke with most everyone that I felt needed some sort of, that I needed to make amends with. But I'm just so thankful that I didn't hurt anyone, that were, you know, innocent people in terms of that. But sorry to go down that road. We really should tell more fun news stories, but it is a part of that journey.
I appreciate, because
that's what happens when an industry evaporates. And I mean, we've seen it, may not be drinking or other substances, but just the sadness of all these people that reporters, editors that saw their livelihoods be taken away.
Yeah. And Will, you had, I hope this doesn't make you too bashful, but your writing was spectacular for what you were called on to do. And none of us were given huge assignments, but looking over some of the old hot corners.
How did you find them, Dan?
I think I just, and I was like, I bet these have been scrubbed, long since scrubbed from the internet, but I'll try it anyway. I just Googled Will Grant, Hot Corner, and probably Birmingham News. And there's still a few out there that survive.
Well,
but what I wanted to say really quick is that, you know, most of us were chomping at the bit to do something more. If we had the opportunity, and I know Chris actually went on and is still writing. Craig has done some great things as well. And I can't speak to everybody in that newsroom, but a lot of talent there. But when it just dries up for you, whether through a layoff or me, and I mentioned this to Craig, I would go on to doubt myself sometimes in 2010, 2011. You know, did I pull out too soon? Was there more for me there? And I would still shop myself around, apply for jobs, and try to, you know, reclaim something and put my skills to use. And I just couldn't get anywhere. It's hard to remember if no offers came through, but nothing palatable. And so you just, and I got into hospitality, was working at Firebirds, worked there for a couple years. And you get out of that professional setting, even though at the Birmingham News, we're rolling in at 6 o'clock at night and working those odd hours. You're in a newsroom. You're not in a bar. You can get to the bar later, but when you work in hospitality, if you already kind of have that inclination to imbibe, you're around it all the time. You're around it at work, and I just kind of sunk further into that lifestyle and pretty much prioritized the lifestyle. I really did. I've never been honest.
You're preaching to the choir. Yeah, keep going, Dan. I'm sorry.
You know, I did some stuff for Bleacher Report before it was really even had any market share, or wish I had been more consistent with that, because this was when you could just start posting things on Bleacher Report. You didn't have to be hired by them. And I just, you know, some people put it in simpler terms where they're just chasing tail. I wasn't womanizing. Like, it wasn't that I didn't have girlfriends, or that wasn't the end result. It wasn't what I was after. I was really after just, I don't even know. It was like the nightlife was always beckoning. And there was nothing professionally for me that I could sink my teeth into.
Dan, I mean, that's essentially what happened. So the news, while I said that it allowed a lifestyle, which it did, it also kept me grounded in the sense that it was, I mean, you already said it. Yes, the hours are different, but that's part of being on the sports desk. I mean, in some ways, that's part of being a newspaper reporter, particularly the sports desk, but not just the sports desk. I mean, it was a 24-hour business to an extent. And what I'm saying is that it was a business. It was a professional pursuit. And that once I lost that, and yes, I went and got my master's, but really, I just threw myself entirely into the lifestyle, as you say. But by the lifestyle, I mean the nightlife lifestyle. And for me, it always had been kind of a work hard, play hard thing I justified in high school and college, and then the news, I guess that's what I would say too. But for me, it was just the party. I didn't want the party to ever end. It wasn't a womanizing thing. I mean, yes, I had my encounters and ladies and things, but it was just that I always loved the nightlife and being around people and partying. I mean, that's where people are like, Will, how did you quit drinking? How did you do this? Not that there's plenty of people who don't do this every day or, you know, get sober or whatever. But I've realized, and I mean, I'll always say alcoholic, addict, whatever, but it maybe wasn't as much, you know, I wasn't someone who woke up wanting to drink or felt the need to drink. And I'm not saying that to put myself above. This is just me defining my approach to it. But it was once I started, I never wanted to stop. And that was the problem. And then, yes, it eventually became where it was self-fulfilling where I didn't have the news. I didn't have anything to really, I couldn't find a job, which at the time I pointed fingers at everyone else and not at myself, but I just got bitter. But it really became this thing where I was so involved in the lifestyle that I drink all night long, sleep, wouldn't have to go anywhere, and then wake up feeling so bad because we'd gotten older and I was older. And I say we, I'm speaking for myself, but we're similar of age, so you're getting older, that I would essentially have to kind of start drinking just to keep going. And that's where it got dark, is that it really became, I couldn't get out of it and I couldn't make changes because basically I kind of completely came off the rails after getting my master's and after maybe like 6 months to a year of not being able to find, you know, a consistent job, thinking that like, oh, I should be being given something. You know, well, I mean, what have I done wrong? I mean, I worked at the news. I did this, you know, the Birmingham News was this amazing institution. Look at all this work. Look at all these articles, you know, hot corners or not. Look at all these articles I wrote. Look, I have this master's from one of our premier state universities. I mean, why can I not get a job? You know, when really I probably was going into interviews smelling of alcohol, or just there are only so many sports related positions too in Birmingham. That kind of goes back to, I didn't want to go to work at, you know, this is just something I always threw out and nothing against UTEP, but I didn't want to at 30 plus move to El Paso and work in there, you know, and work my way up. Not that because I didn't feel I could, but I wanted to be in Birmingham. I love Birmingham. And there were just only so many opportunities, but really it became all about that lifestyle until finally enough happened that I'm blessed and thankful that I was able to make changes, because I've seen plenty of people in that service industry and in that lifestyle not make the changes. Unfortunately, I've lost a lot of people along the way, not to be dramatic, but it's sad.
Yeah.
Because it is a very hard life to lead. Working nights is a very hard life to lead, service industry or not. But it's just very difficult to live, I mean, quote unquote, healthy, productive life.
Stay tuned for part two, as my conversation with Will Grant is just getting started. Hope you're enjoying it. Thanks for listening to the Dan Time Podcast.